Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, April 3rd. I'm Alan Chartok. The recently passed New York State budget set up a process that could lead to a pay raise for lawmakers. But the agreement doesn't include any ethics reforms following the bribery conviction of the governor's former top aide and the corruption trials of the legislature's former leaders. Here to discuss the lawmaker pay raises, maybe, is ethics reform and more, and New York State Assemblywoman Pat Fahey and Albany area Democrat. 1-800-348-2551. I said 1-800-348-2551. That's your calls, and much, much more, all coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news update. Hello, everybody. We're back. This is the thing that will make it go louder, okay? All right. We're just doing a little stuff here. Time is 2 o'clock or whatever it is. It's now 2:09, 46 seconds, and we're getting set. We're welcoming you back. The recently passed New York State budget sets up a process that could lead to a pay raise for lawmakers. But the agreement doesn't include any ethics reforms following the bribery conviction of the governor's former top aide and the corruption trials of the legislature's former leaders. Joining us today is an old friend of mine, a personal friend, Assemblywoman Pat Fahey, an Albany area Democrat, elected to the Assembly in 2012. Pat, welcome to the Vox Pop.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So we're talking about ethics today and ethics reform, and we are also talking about a pay raise. How much do you guys make now?
I think it's $79,500, yeah. Which has been that since, I think, 1998, long before I entered.
So why don't people want to? What is it that makes a pay raise such an anathema to citizens?
Well, I think it's, I understand that people get frustrated with government and they want to keep government costs down. And to the average person, you know, the average income in this region is $40,000, $50,000, depending on where you are. Part of my district, it's a much higher household income. So I have mixed incomes, but in the heart of your working class neighborhoods, it's 40 to 50, much, much higher in parts of my district. But people read too, you know, where we see, unfortunately, too many scandals with government. And so I think that people get frustrated with the idea of pay. And as you know, the governor has also mentioned that it's very difficult to recruit high-level executives to chair his agencies. A couple of years ago, we changed judges' salaries because it was considered to be hard to recruit judges. And now, as you see, we have contested races everywhere once we've increased the judges' salary. But it's a hard one. I said in 2012, I knew what the pay was. I've never advocated for an increase in pay, but I am very fortunate that I have a dual income because my husband works as well.
Well, he's a professor. That's not exactly running a bank.
No, he's not exactly running a bank, but we live here in Albany and have a small house, and my children went all through the Albany Public Schools. So until we hit college, we were able to save a little bit of money on our great public schools.
Wow. Well, that's amazing because, you know, you've got two kids in private colleges now. And that ain't cheap.
No, it's not cheap. And thankfully, they're 3 years apart, so we only have 1 year of panic on on paying for these schools. But we let them choose the schools. They were both good students, and we let them drive that. We chose their Albany schools by living in Albany. We let them choose their colleges.
That's great. Okay, so Pat Fahey, the issue is whether or not there should be a pay raise which is tied to ethics reform. Now, my view of this is, and I think it's fairly well known, that the legislature, certainly not somebody like you, but many people in the legislature get elected and then they have these outside incomes and people having a choice to go to the lawyer or to the lawyer plus assemblyman or senator, they always choose where they think they're going to get the most bang for their buck. And people use those. So I have no problem with raising your salary. I don't even care if you double your salary or triple it, as long as there is ethics reform, which says nothing on the outside, no outside income, which they do in Congress now. So my question to you is, why not?
That has been proposed repeatedly. And let me again say, I knew what the salary was. I'm not advocating for a salary raise and a pay increase, nor have I ever. But do I see the problems that it causes, especially for the New York City members who can it's very difficult to raise a family on $79,000 in New York City. So I will tell you, when the outside income came up, we had a very impassioned speech from one of the members, one of the what I think is one of the brightest members in the body, talk about, you know, that's fine if you ban all outside income. However, I will have to step down. He's married with two children. I don't know if his spouse works, but he said he lives in the heart of New York City and just plain and simply can't afford it. So do I think in the end we may see some members leave? Yes, I think you may see some members leave. There are other members, as you know, who owned coffee shops, pharmacies, as John McDonald owns. I think it is the attorneys who have outside law practices. So the compromise has been, well, they've been unable to reach a compromise for many years. I do not have an outside income. I am not, I'm fine either way. But I do understand that there has to be some limits. Absolutely limits on outside income, and we have to have some serious constraints about what type of outside income, particularly with those with law practices. And I don't know how we find the middle. This is particularly an issue in the state Senate, where we have many, many more members. It affects, of the 150 in the Assembly, my understanding is it affects about a dozen, maybe two dozen. It's a very small portion.
Well, let me
of
stop
members.
You. Sure. Assuming that's the case, and I have no reason not to think that's right, if there's only a dozen, why doesn't everybody overwhelm them and say, hey, you're ruining it for all the rest of us? And by the way, I have no problem with their resigning or getting out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the idea that somebody's in place for a long, long time, I know that you and I will disagree about this one, but I've reluctantly come to the position of being in favor of term limits because I think these folks often take advantage of there. It becomes a sinecure. Nobody runs against them, and I think it's tough. So I'm asking you, what's so wrong about somebody resigning?
I think when you lose high-quality members, when you lose the institutional knowledge, as you know, the downside of term limits, especially if they're only 8 years, I think at some point we will be looking at something. But 12 years makes more sense because you lose institutional knowledge, and then staff, unelected staff, really run the institution. And we've had, as you know, dramatic turnover in the Assembly to the point of where I'm, you know, moving right up the food chain with 6 years under my belt because of changes in the New York City, because of term limits in
you.
New York City. Yes, yes, it's great for me, but I do worry that we are losing some institutional knowledge. With regard to the ethics, I don't think it's so easy to say let a member leave just because of their outside income. If it's a high quality, really dedicated member, I think we have to finesse this a little bit such that we have full disclosure and transparency and a cap on outside income, but in a serious cap on it. But I do understand, John McDonald has a pharmacy. Another member owns a dry cleaning. Another member owns a coffee shop. I do understand that there are members who walked in with other livelihoods. And can you put that in some form of a trust? Somewhat, yes. But I think even if, as you said, if you doubled the pay of a member, it still makes it difficult to live on that in New York City. And I am not advocating we double the pay, to be clear.
Let's go to Lisa in Oneonta. Lisa, thanks for holding on. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really like this regional talk show. This is really a wonderful addition to our democracy. I have a comment and a question. And my comment is this. I really feel as though unless and until the Republicans will refuse money from the Koch brothers and Alec, it seems to me that it is foolish to keep hammering Democrats who accept money from Wall Street or quote-unquote Big Pharma. All that insistence does is suppress the vote. And when that happens, look what happened. We lost a great president. And it's a big danger right now to poor people and immigrants. So my question is, why do we need to tie discussion of ethics to Governor Cuomo and the Prococo trial. I mean, Prococo was brought in by Mario.
No, Prococo was brought in by Mario, and then Prococo was brought in big time by this governor. What are you kidding? That you mean to say?
I'm not kidding. What I'm remembering, Alan, is that during the Gingrich Revolution, you had public servants in the Clinton administration targeted by frivolous lawsuit after frivolous lawsuit. So when the Clintons had a big foundation, we had people on the left going after Hillary relentlessly because they had big money.
Okay, but I'm not going to talk about that now. I want to talk about this question of ethics reform in the legislature. You certainly don't think that we shouldn't have ethics reform or, as you properly say, campaign finance reform.
I think we should have it, but I think we have to have both sides disarm at once, Alan. And the left, I think, is harder on the Democrats than they are on the Republicans.
You know what? People hate the legislature, and they hate it for good reason, because they suspect it. But let's have Assemblywoman Fahey answer some of your questions.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Listen, my feeling is I try not to pick left or right on this. Where there are ethics violations, we need to get on top of those. And as somebody has said before me, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. So the more that we have of disclosure, the more we have transparency on whether it's income, as we were just talking about, or on grants that are given out, on monies that I spend, any of my campaign, everything is filed online, and now it's put up online so that it's searchable by anybody, and any money I take in, by the way. But do we need to do more on campaign finance? Of course. I've co-sponsored more bills than I care to think about. I think we need some type of public financing, because that way it would level the playing field and you won't see multimillionaires or billionaires, as we've just seen in Illinois, with another governor winning another candidate winning a primary for governor who's a billionaire. But one thing I will say, one positive note on this in the budget, one of the pieces that did go in is that we will now have more transparency on independent expenditures for those that are posting on social media, like Facebook, where if you post, and let's say it's a school board election where we've had charter school monies that have been unidentified in the past, now there has to be full disclosure of who's paying for it and who where the source of the money is.
And Lisa, I thank you for your call. We could go on for a long while, but I got to take a break. Thanks for your calling. Thanks. Okay, Zach, take it away.
Support for WAMT comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts. For over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repairs, including tire pressure, exhaust, brakes, and checking engine lights, full-service gas station, collegestreetmotors.com. Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving the Berkshires, Pioneer Valley, and all of Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHicksConstruction.com. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarriers and fabricators used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenAndPerrin.com. And Windhorse Naturopathic Clinic, Brattleboro, Vermont, offering naturopathic medicine, oxidative medicine, colon hydrotherapy, and acupuncture, specializing in Lyme disease, now accepting new primary care patients. WindhorseNaturopathic.com.
Okay, we are back. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Pat Fahey, my friend and the assemblywoman from this area, is with us right now, and we appreciate it very much, Pat. Okay, so the question is ethics reform. Guess what? The lines are basically bereft of callers. Why is that? Why is it that if we talk about, how much vodka to put in a thing, everybody calls? But, okay, is it that everybody's just sick to death of all of this? I don't know. Let's go to Beth in Niskayuna. Beth, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was going to say, most people in this state aren't able to afford to send their kids quote-unquote kids and young adults to any college they want. So I'm going to mention, I'm just going to say, there should be no pay raise, again, unless you want to do away with outside jobs, because I think, or contributions, I'd rather see the money go to investigate child abuse, abuse in prisons and psych wards and nursing homes than trying to track down. It's really hard to track down, we'll call it money laundering situations. So I don't think they deserve a raise. I can't even get the tax forms that I need. And per my other discussions, try to get something like child abuse investigated. So that's where the money needs to be spent, not on pay raises.
Well, you know, Beth, for whatever it's worth, and I'll let Pat answer for herself, I don't agree with you. I have no problem giving them the money if they want to say, we're not going to go outside and grab money the old-fashioned way but for influence peddling. We all know
well,
that
of course.
Goes,
I mean, but, you know, there's so many people that are so poor. You know, for every millionaire in New York State, what is it, 100 people who are just really scraping by.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
I'm sure there are some decent, honest politicians there that might deserve a raise, but I think aren't they on a lot of different groups, and they get stipends for all of that as well, which isn't even fully taxed for the different oversee different. You know what I'm talking about?
Whoa.
They have
Beth, hold on
within
a second.
The government. They
Beth.
Sit on committees.
Beth, you just
and
made
they
it.
Get
no,
stipends
no, no, for, stop, stop. Pat Fahey, you just heard. Are you on a lot of other places that give you money?
I receive zero outside income. There are members who have their travel reimbursed, but all of that is very heavily documented if they are. And it's only they have to log in and log out when they are up in a hotel here for session days. And we have about 60 or so session days. Or if it's for a hearing in the off session, they have to log in and have that pre-approved to travel to a hearing. Let's say it's in Buffalo. Once in a blue moon, I have taken about once or twice a year, I take a train down to New York City for a hearing, and that just the train is covered, certainly not my travel, not my time or anything. Now, there are members who chair committees, more senior members, and they do receive what are called Lulus. And that is outside. They may get like $2,000 or $5,000 for chairing a committee. And it's the reason behind it is considered because they're doing more work, and they have to hold hearings and what have you.
And some
truthfully,
of them get a car, don't they?
I think only the speaker has a car. If there are others, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know the speaker has a car, and that is covered. But. But it's not a lot of money. Quite frankly, I'd rather see the pay get rid of the Lulus.
Thank you, Beth. Okay, and now we'll go to Jim in Albany. All right, Jim in Albany, you're on. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Alan. Hey, thanks for the great program. And thanks to you, Pat Fahey, for your good work in the legislature.
Thank you.
We take a lot of pride in the people who represent the Albany district. Before you, there was Jack McEnany, and, of course, we've got Neil Breslin in the Senate. Where are you going to find better people in the world? Nowhere. So, anyway, we take a lot of pride. And I think the big issue today, Alan, to you ask why not that many people are calling, the big issue right now is that the public schools are under attack in this country. What can we do to help them?
Okay, so you're switching the subject to public schools. Pat Fahey has already announced that she sent all three of her kids to public schools.
Hey, wasn't
schools.
That great, Ellen? That was great
schools.
To hear.
Yeah, and not everybody does that, believe me. I know I grew up on the west side of Manhattan, and my mother was severely criticized by some of her contemporaries for not sending us to private schools. So, and I'm sure you get that also. But
hey, good to hear that, Alan. Great. I know there are great public schools down there because I went to RPI. We had a lot of students from New York. They were the leaders in every class.
Interesting, interesting. Well, thank you for the call. Great.
Hey,
appreciate
thank you, Alan.
It. Yeah,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We want to hear from you. In fact, I demand it. Let's go to Jeff in northern New Jersey. Okay, Jeff, you're on.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Full disclosure, I'm a Trump supporter. Now, my idea for saving money and perhaps the sanity of the voter is to lessen the amount of time for the campaigning, whether it be primary or general election, and whether it be state or federal. Would this not give them more time to actually do their job and less time campaigning?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. Jeff, you're fading. I can't hear you. So let's try it. Keep your head close to the microphone and then give us the gist of it, because you're fading. He's gone.
Less time for campaigning.
Less time for campaigning. I like it. Pat, what do you think?
Of course, I'd love less time for campaigning. And we run every 2 years here in the Assembly and in the New York State Senate. There have been proposals on and off over the years to at least make the Senate, the state Senate, every 4 years. Quite frankly, I think that would make eminent sense and would save a fortune, because millions upon millions are spent on those races. I'd welcome it as well, but I think we are kept similar to the U.S. Congress, which is every 2 years. But I think it would make at least some sense for the U.S. Senate. And campaigning in some ways—
In the state Senate.
Whereas in the U.S. Senate, it is every 6 years.
Yeah.
However, I will say, in some ways, because you run every 2 years, in many ways, the line is blurred. I mostly work 7 days a week. If I'm not out, I'm at least keeping up on emails and keeping up on correspondence and keeping up on the news. So technically we only meet about 6 months a year, but virtually every member that I know works throughout the year in order to stay on top of the business of government. So it is a busy time. And yes, the campaign cycles are long. I think that would help a little bit. Again, I also believe in some public financing with further constraints about what could be spent, so that we don't see these multi-million dollar races.
And you know, Jeff, I'm delighted you're calling. I'm delighted you announced that you are a Trump fan. I am not. But as you know, I think it's important to hear from everybody. So thanks for calling. Okay, so now we're going to go to Mark in Deerfield, Massachusetts. I'm delighted to hear my fellow Massachusettsans calling up. Go ahead, Mark, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to you while you were speaking with a woman who brought up something about child abuse and things like that, and I want to challenge your notion that either we pay— now, full disclosure, I'm in Massachusetts, therefore I don't have a horse in the game. But the idea that you said, either we pay them more money or we can expect more influence peddling, as you call it. It seems like you've thrown up your hands to the possibility of ethics reform and feel like anyone that's out there not making enough money to get by should be construed as being unethical, or at least abusing your office. So,
okay, Mark.
I would like—
well, I'm going to answer you, Mark. I think you need murine, because murine goes into the ears, it cleans out the wax. Because I never said any such thing. I said they deserve it, but they got to give you in something back, which is ethics reform. That's exactly what I said. So I don't know where you get this from.
I was just listening to what you said on the radio, which was basically that people, they need more money, and I don't know if they receive in compensation
$79,000.
Is commensurate with the time that they spend in public service. I don't know how many hours or months they spend. I'm not familiar with that. So I know they need more money to live on, but is that the point? Shall we assume that because they have public office that they're going to be somehow using that to make more money?
Let me just add it here to your call and then the previous caller. We could change the pay tomorrow, but we will always have to be vigilant on ethics. Just as we tighten down there, I have, except for last year, my first 4 years in the Assembly, we passed ethics packages. The reason that Shelley Silver and the majority leader, Dean Skelos, were taken to court is based on 2011 ethics disclosures that required more disclosures on the form. So every time we see a loophole, if you will, there is an effort to tighten it down with big exceptions where we've been unable to come to agreements, such as LLCs. We have to be vigilant.
But it isn't the Senate and the Assembly that did that. It's the federal government, because both of those people that you named, all of them have been brought to justice by the federal prosecutors.
But it was with disclosure information on the filings that we do each May. It mm-hmm. was income disclosure that had more detailed requirements that were changed in 2011. I'm not taking credit for it. I wasn't even in office at that point. Mm-hmm. But they are very, very detailed filings. And my understanding mm-hmm. is that's what began to change. Because, as you know, Mr. Silver had similar income for many years before that. It was only when it was disclosed that allowed the feds to come in and get more information on some of that. So that's my point is
right.
is that we the transparency does matter. Disclosure matters. Is there more to be done? The LLC loophole is an outrageous loophole that still exists till this day. We cannot come to agreement. I'm proud we do pass it in the assembly, but there is more. I just also want to go back to back to the other caller. Please understand that regardless of what the pay is, and again, I am not advocating. I have a dual income, and I'm very grateful that we have a dual income. But I went 7 months without a paycheck when I ran because I had worked under federal funds prior to that, had to leave my job, went without a paycheck in order to run for the office. Generally, you are seeing increasingly wealthier people, unless they have strong, strong grassroots support. You are seeing only wealthy people. It is a multi-billionaire who just spent $70 million on an Illinois primary last week. I find that rather scary. Plus, you already have a multi-millionaire sitting in the governor's seat. So you have a multi-millionaire running against a billionaire. The billionaire, by the way, beat one of the Kennedys, one of RFK's sons, in that primary. So believe me, there were a lot of millionaires in that race. But that is unfortunately, I think, where we are heading. So we do have to make sure that we have a strong middle class in every industry, but we have to make sure that there are constraints.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Okay. Now we are going to go to another Mark in Monticello, of all places. Mark from Monticello, you're on.
Hello, Dr. Sartok. How are you today?
Well, okay.
First thing I'd like to point out is the hundreds and hundreds of public servants in New York State who serve on planning boards and zoning boards of appeal who receive absolutely no compensation for their work and are required to take courses in New York State to keep their positions. Are you still there?
Yeah, we heard you. You make a good point.
Okay.
We're both nodding.
Now, with that step, I think that the state of New York could adopt some type of sliding scale for the people who live in Manhattan to obviously have to make a little more money to survive, and of course also in Albany and Buffalo, Rochester, there has to be a sliding scale. I do think though in reform though, we actually need it on a federal level to start monitoring the political action committees and super PACs. Because a lot of their money is very gray money, and I don't like the idea that foreign money can be floating in through these organizations to support a candidate, and we don't even know where the money comes from.
Okay, Mark, stop there. We'll get Pat Fahey.
You hit the nail on the head, and that's some scary, scary dynamics. We talk a lot about ethics here in the state, and as I said, I believe we need to be ever more vigilant, more transparent, more disclosure. However, what's going on at the federal level is a little terrifying. And the Citizens United Supreme Court case, as you know, that was settled, I guess, about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer, has really opened the door to this dark money, if you will, or the shadow money, where it's very hard to trace, and a person is treated like a corporation so that you can spend millions and millions and get around campaign finance law limits on any one individual. So,
okay, but I want to know something, Pat. Yes or no, should there be major ethics reform tied to a pay increase?
I'd be fine with that. Yeah. I'm supportive of all sorts of ethics reform.
And how come if there are only a dozen, as you say, in your house?
One or two dozen, Alan. I forget the number.
Okay,
I said one or two dozen.
Two dozen.
Sure.
That's 24 out of 151. Is that what
that's
it is?
About that? Yeah. Have more than like a professor's adjunct.
Why doesn't everybody else say the heck with you guys? People hate us. They have no respect for us. It's low. This is as low as it gets. We have to do ethics reform, but they won't do it.
They won't do it. I mean, it has to be. There has to be a three-way agreement. There's many more in the Senate who have the outside income, so it becomes a problem there. I think we're going to get closer. I think it's a matter of time. I'd love to see it this year.
If the Democrats, Pat Fahey, take the Senate, and that's a possibility this year, and they're in charge, you think that we may see a change?
Yes.
In this? I don't.
I do. I think we will see. Will it be an exact limit of zero outside income? Maybe not, but I think you will see a change. Okay. Absolutely.
Hey, Mark from Monticello, thank you. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a very, very short break, and then we'll be back to talk to Dave and Tony and Andy.
Support for WAMC comes from New England Hydroponics, the indoor gardening experts, offering a full selection of hydroponics, organic soils, and indoor gardening equipment, Southampton and Framingham, Massachusetts, online at nehydro.com. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield, stavros.org for more information. Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. And Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio. FortHillAutoBody.com.
We are back, and we are delighted to be here with Pat Fahey, Assemblywoman from New York State Assembly. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go now to Dave in Colony. All right, Dave, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I have a very simple question, and I really just want to get your take on it. So in regards to ethics and everything, and really more so at the local level, like I had heard like how you had made a statement in regards to it really needing to make progress in the federal level. But even on the local level, like, what is your take on the fact that I like to call him Mr. Untouchable, but that Cuomo is disbanding, you know, his own ethics committee?
Yeah, what about that? The Moreland Act Committee, you remember that? Mm-hmm. And he sets it up and he runs. He's going to be the answer.
And it seemed like he set it up with all of his buddies. Like, it's not like they were no-name people that, you know,
Dave, I don't think that's fair. He put a lot of prosecutors from all over the state on that Moreland Act Committee. And he said, go wherever you want. And then they went wherever they wanted. And as they got a little closer, we suspect to him and to his group, he disbanded it.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
And it's weird thing.
Black marks on Cuomo. Pat?
Well, I think that all has switched over to J-COPE now. And some of these, as you know, have taken on a completely separate life of their own with the court systems.
Now, you know why they call it, what they call J-COPE is J-Joke. Because he set it up with his own people, and they don't do, as we say, squat.
Well, I don't know if it's squat. I know they have had to review a number of these investigations. I'm not going to defend it, I'll be honest, because I do think there's room. Where the action has switched, though, is to the courts. And please, I'm here. Don't think I don't have total disgust at a whole host of cases. Alan and I were talking offline about a couple of recent incidences from members who either get greedy or just are stupid, whether it's some of the sexual harassment issues or whether it's petty crimes
theft.
I get that, it's indefensible. The fact that committee is being disbarred, with it getting a little closer to Cuomo and everything else, I mean, isn't that in actuality the complete opposite of everything that committee was originally supposedly designed for and was really supposed to be looking out for us
in
the grand scheme of things?
Okay, put a different way, Pat. Dave is asking, were you repulsed by the fact that Cuomo disbanded the Moreland Act Commission.
I'm not repulsed. No, I'm not. I, you know, because there are other bodies, there are other investigations going on. Do I want to make sure that we are getting to the bottom of everything? Absolutely. Repulse would be too strong a word for me.
But not for me. And I have to say, I said so then. I've been saying so ever since. I think it is a real bad mark against this particular governor. Dave, thanks. Okay, let's go now to Tony in Schenectady. Tony in Schenectady, your turn.
Yeah, hi, Pat. Hey, listen, I voted for you, but I moved out of your district, and now I can't vote for you anymore. So
sorry. Sorry to hear that.
That's how that went. But anyway, I'm a firm believer in having more women in leadership positions throughout all of government. And I was just curious to hear Pat tell me if that's happening in the House. Is that happening in New York? Because I think the guys have really screwed things up, and we really need women to start running things over there. Thanks.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate that. Yes, there have been a number of changes. I'm old enough where I look at the glass half full. So I'm pretty positive about a number of changes that have occurred. The head of Ways and Means, which is the largest and most powerful committee in the New York State Assembly, is now being chaired by a woman who had been in the Assembly for a number of decades. And then one of our, in this case, a minority leader in the U.S., in the New York State Senate, is chaired by a woman. And so I think we are seeing a number of changes. We at one time were about 22% of the overall legislature, women 22 to 25%. It's well over 30% now. So it's moving in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Okay, let's go to now Andy in Goshen. All right, I'm trying to move fast to get everybody in. 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, Pat. Oh, no, go ahead, Andy.
Hello. Yes, I have a question about campaign finance reform. My question is, with the recent precedents set in the Supreme Court, some of those precedents being establishing money as freedom of speech, therefore making essentially campaign contributions unlimited, mm-hmm. and as well as Citizens United piggybacking on top of that and allowing essentially corporations to have unlimited campaign contributions, how can we make meaningful with teeth finance reform at the state level, I'm assuming that it could be challenged and taken to the Supreme Court, and those campaign finance reforms could be ruled as a violation of freedom of speech. So how can we do anything in campaign finance reform at the local level that has any real teeth?
And you mean by the local level, you mean, Andy, the state level, right, in this case?
State level, local government,
okay.
Anything really. Anything could be challenged at the Supreme Court and deemed freedom of speech a violation.
Okay, yeah. Pat?
You can to some degree, but you are absolutely right, Andy. Nothing has put money into hyperdrive in the last few years than the Citizen United decision, which has, so we've gone from now millions to tens of millions in races to hundreds of millions around the country and billions elsewhere. So it is a very serious problem. We can, however, within New York, still have some transparency. This latest thing on social media that you now have to identify independent expenditures on any social media so that it will have to be listed. It's one of those sleeper issues that was in the 2,000-page budget, but that will have some serious ramifications about at least letting us know where this outside and dark money is coming from.
But we all have to understand, Andy, and I think it's so, that if you had campaign financing, it would not be ruled out of order by freedom of speech. In fact, New York City has it.
Yes.
And they do pay for campaigns as long as it's done.
But if someone actually were to take the time to challenge and take it to the Supreme Court, based on current precedent and a conservative Supreme Court,
yep.
they would rule that it is a violation of freedom of speech, as I understand the law.
I would bet you're wrong.
But let me add, we do need to change the Supreme Court, and that is one of the top issues that really needs to change.
Well, this guy,
quite frankly,
in the presidency, Pat.
Not under this presidency, but
I'll. Yeah. We got some very old people on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
So this could not be.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thanks,
yes,
Andy.
We agree.
All right. Okay. I don't agree. Well, anyway. Anyway, let's go to James in Delmar. James in Delmar, your turn.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling because I wanted to ask why it seems like the issue of ethics reform has to be tied to the pay raise for the legislature. I think that these issues should be completely separate. It's my understanding that the legislators are working a part-time job for $80,000 a year, more or less, give or take. And, you know, that's pretty good pay. And if they don't want to do the job, they don't have to run for the job. So I want to know why it has to be tied that, you know, if you're going to give them, you know, they shouldn't get any raise, in my opinion. And it shouldn't matter whether there's ethic reform or not.
Okay, James, that's a good question.
Well, you have to stay to that.
That's a good question. I have my answer. Go ahead.
I will say whether there's pay or not, there's always room for ethics reform. Again, the top one on my list is the LLC loophole. You've got to close the LLC loophole, which is allowing limited liability corporations to come in with multiple donations. Could be the same person owning those limited those LLCs, as we saw in the Shelley Silver case. So it could be one person owning that, yet there's multiple donations getting around, doing an end run around campaign finance limits. So either way, you need ethics reform. Again, with regard to the pay, I'm not advocating for it. I'm just understanding why we're seeing younger and younger members, or members who are multimillionaires, run for offices because they have to rely on their outside income.
Now, James, my answer to this would be, I don't like the idea that you have to bribe them to get them to give you the money, but to give you the ethics reform. But in fact, that's exactly what's going on here. You know, last time Governor Cuomo said to them, I'll give you a pay raise, but first you have to say no outside income. And they put their heads together and they said, hell no, we're not going to do that. So that is my answer to your very good question. The second thing is, were you employed, James?
I'm retired now, but yes, I've been employed for most of my adult life.
And did you like getting a pay raise, or did you need a pay raise every once in a while? These people haven't had a pay raise forever.
Look at it in the demographics. They're making good money for the amount of time they have to put in at work. You know,
well, they deny that, by the way.
One of the other callers was saying about possibly a sliding scale for New York City representatives. Yeah, I can see that, but
that ain't gonna
happen. Again, you know, they don't have to run for the position. I've been told at plenty of jobs, if you don't like the pay, don't work here.
Yeah, no, you make some sense.
And I took a pay cut to run for this job. I knew it willingly, which is why you don't hear me advocating for one, because I knew the pay. I knew there was no chance, or a very unlikely chance, of a pay increase. That's not what keeps me in this job, I assure you. However, because I have a family, if I did not have that dual income, I might not have run.
And you will see
just the wealthier and wealthier run for these jobs who have that outside income that Alan has expressed serious concerns over, and we agree.
And Pat, you keep saying a second income. That's your
husband. My husband's income. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, James. All right. Let's go to Margo in Saratoga Springs. Hi, Margo. Margo, are you there? See, what happens is people hang on and then they say, well, I'll go have a margarita in the other room.
She's having a good afternoon, I'd say.
Thank you, Margo. Okay, you're not there, Margo? Okay, Margo.
Hi, Alan.
Okay.
And
good.
I am enjoying this program so very, very much. And I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I think that we could take some of the money that they raise for politicians that they have to raise to run. I think that should be cut right out. I think the people that want to run for office should just be able to run with office without having to spend a lot of money.
Okay, but Margo, what's the problem here is some have so much more than the others. I mean, if some
I know, that's the problem. Yeah. I think if we've just had a level playing field, Alan.
That's public financing.
Okay, say I want to run for, I ran for office in Castleton, Vermont. I was on the school board for a year.
Yep.
And I don't think we spent much of anything. We just got the word out that we're running for office.
But, if the guy next door was a multimillionaire, and this happens all the time, and said, okay, we're not allowed to spend, I'm going to spend my own money. What's wrong? I mean, how can you stop that? You cannot.
No, you can't. You can't. And I, this my problem is, I just wish there were some way. I think the legislature is doing an absolutely, positively wonderful job, and I think they should be paid what they put in. I think a raise for them is very necessary.
But what about on the outside? And I think, what about on the outside? Should they be allowed to have influence peddling jobs on the outside, which bring money in because they're a legislator? Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah. And but just if
no,
I can
they
add
should
in,
not.
And if I could add in. You're also talking about campaign finance reform, public financing of campaigns in order to level the playing field. That's been tried in a couple of places. It has some mixed reviews, but it is the way to try to get on top of the lack of a level playing field
now,
with the wealthy running against somebody who does have not have outside means to
now, as I say,
campaign.
Pat, they do have that in New York City.
Yes.
And it works. It seems
to
work.
To some degree.
Nevertheless, you still, if you're a billionaire, you can spend a lot of money. Margo, thank you. Okay, let's see here. We'll go to Mario in Albany. Mario, it is your turn. Go.
Thank you. Hi, Pat. Mario, former teacher at Albany High School. I just wanted to say thank you. But I'm not sure if I have a question or a comment, and this is more universal than anything else. In terms of education, with our current Secretary Betsy DeVos, she's a millionaire, as well as
billion.
Money that is being pumped into the charter schools, et cetera. I'm not sure what the answer is to, you know, having these billions and millions of dollars pumped into the education system. Now it's at the federal level where the secretary is trying, in my opinion, trying to actually make public education a thing of the past.
Okay,
can you comment, Pat?
Thank you. Nice to hear from you. I share some of your concerns, more that she doesn't seem to understand or really have any experience in public education, which is still the vast majority of the system. I do think I have had some worries about the privatization, because whatever the education system is, again, whether it's public, private, charter schools, whatever they may be, there has to be serious accountability. And without that accountability, we know that kids will not get as good of an education, especially when you hear of like online, the efforts to do online education for children. Often there's very little success. The statistics on that are terrible. So her emphasis on trying to privatize more, it does cause me a lot of concerns. And yes, she is a multi-billionaire with no experience in public education. And I think we're seeing a number of missteps from her as a result.
Mario, we're running out of time. Thank you for your call. Okay, and now let's go to Eron in Woodstock. Okay, no, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. I'm going according to how long people have been hanging on, and we're going to go to Roger in Poughkeepsie. Roger, you're on.
Yes, hi, Alan, thank you, and Assemblymember Fahey, thank you for taking my call.
You got about a half a minute. We're out of time, so you got about a half a minute to go.
Very quickly, I'm looking at a database that shows that when you add Lulus and expenses, more than half of the legislators are earning over $100,000 a year, and that's without the health benefits. I understand there's a very generous health package for legislators, and I raise this only because it raises into question whether or not there's enough incentive through salaries to move these legislators to reform.
Okay,
ethics reform.
Roger, that's your point. And Pat, we have about half a minute.
So I think the vast majority of the money that members who are not within 50 miles of the Capitol, they do receive compensation for their travel and their hotel expenses when in town,
as well as
the Lulus can run, I think I said, a couple of thousand to $5,000 or $10,000. So that's what that would be. Again, I think most members would prefer to move away from that and have a standard salary increase. But I have not surveyed other colleagues. Again, I don't receive any of that outside income.
Thank you, Pat. We're just out of time. Thanks to Assemblywoman Pat Fahey for joining us. Underwriting support for The Vox Pop comes from Merritt Bookstore Millbrook, an independent book and toy store in the heart of Millbrook, featuring author Stephen Lewis for a writer's workshop and book signing Saturday, April 21st at 1 p.m. MerrittBookstore.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Mass Match, for over 16 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service connecting singles throughout private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond. MassMatch.com. State Street Fruit Store, Deli Wines and Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned, community-minded grocery and specialty food store since 1922. Wine tastings every Friday from 4 to 7, statestreetfruit.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy, Susie Chekai for answering the phones, Jim Lavoulis, our producer. I'm Alan Shartok, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.